Bible with you tonight, turn with us over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 14. The Lord's given me a few thoughts this evening. I pinned down I'd like to share with you tonight. Matthew 14. We've got a very busy July schedule. We'll be having the Ron Martin family in, the Rowlands in July. We'll be having the Rochesters in one night. We're having Bible school. And we might as well kick it off right in July. And we'll be off next Sunday night, the first Sunday. Then that next Sunday night, let's have an old-timey throw-down ice cream supper after church. Amen. And so everybody make a freezer ice cream. Let's forget about our diets on Sunday night. And let's enjoy the good things of the Lord. Amen. So y'all remember that, the second Sunday night in July. And we'll be having our service, and after that we'll be having a fellowship out back. And hope you'll be planning for that and staying for that. Matthew 14. Glad I got a Bible tonight. Verse number 22. I get to preach tonight out of one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. One of my favorite texts. And straightway, Jesus, watch this word, constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come to you on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Thank you for standing tonight, reverencing the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love You. So we thank You for the good day that You've given to us. We thank You for the good day that You've entrusted us with. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd help us with this text of Scripture tonight as You've laid upon my heart. I pray that You'd let preaching be easy. And, Lord, I pray that You'd let me be a blessing to the people tonight. And, Lord, if there'd be one here lost, I pray that, God, You'd save them by Your amazing grace. Thank You for everything that's been done this day. Lord, You've been good to us. And I thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Notice as a text verse tonight, he said in 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him on the other side while He sent the multitudes away." And I want to preach on this simple subject tonight on "We're not home yet." We're not home yet. Now Jesus told them to go to the other side. I'm glad there is another side of every side. Now, storms is going to come, but aren't you glad when the storms leave? Rains are going to come, but aren't you glad when the sun comes out? And so here Jesus told them to get into a ship. Now, I want to read a few things tonight, and as I get through this sermon, I want maybe that you'll register on some things that Jesus has put you and I in. As He put these disciples in a ship, I want you to notice, first of all, that Jesus arranges. Jesus arranges. He constrained them to get into a ship. Now, this word, constrained, it's a heavy word. It means compel. It's more than a gesture. But this word constraining means to compel, to put a weight upon in such a way that His will would be carried out. Now, through this story, I want you to notice tonight a few ships that they found themselves in. As you and I, in a child of God, we find ourselves in several of these kind of ships tonight. But remember this by way of outline. Jesus arranges things. Now, first of all, I'm glad that He's put us in the flagship. I'm glad I'm sailing in the old ship of Zion. I'm not looking for another, for the one He put me in is the greatest ship that I could ever be sailing in. And then I want to say that not only did He put them and put us in a flagship, He put them in companionship. You say, well, preacher, Jesus didn't go with them. Oh, but listen to me tonight. Jesus never took His eyes off of His children. It is a joy to have companionship, not only with Jesus, but with others. I'm glad we've got a close church tonight. I'm glad we've got a church when one hurts, the others hurt. We ought to be that close and thank God for companionship. You ought to thank the Lord for some people that He's given you to sail with. How our life has been changed by others that Jesus has constrained to get in this ship. Now, there was a flagship. There was a companionship. And then there was discipleship. These disciples were about to learn things that they'd never learned before. They'd just experienced the feeding of the 5,000 men. But now Christ is going to send them in a ship and let them learn some things that only this journey will teach them. Tonight I'm glad that I'm in discipleship. As the old man said, I may not be where I need to be. But thank God, I'm a long way from where I used to be. And so I'm glad that there is discipleship. And then I'm glad there is fellowship. I appreciate the fellowship with the Lord Jesus and with the saints of God. My heart is encouraged because of fellowship. You need to realize that God has put others in the ship with you to encourage you and be there by you. Let me tell you, honey, I'm glad that I'm in fellowship with God. I'm glad I'm in fellowship with you. And I'm glad I'm in fellowship with myself tonight. Oh, then they had friendship. Jesus was going to prove Himself closer than a brother. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. I believe, and I believe it with all of my heart, God has blessed many of us because of friendships. Some of the dearest people in my life is in this church tonight, and it's all because one day Jesus come by and constrained me by His great love to get into the ship of fellowship. And then you'll notice they learned something else. They were sailing in a hardship. A lot of people say, well, I love the Lord, preacher, and things has never been this hot. Let me tell you folks something. Life is hard. Can I say it again? Life is hard. But it's a whole lot easier if the Lord is by your side. And so you'll find out that when He compels us to get into a ship, many times it is hardship. And then many of us are in leadership. Matter of fact, every mom and daddy under the sound of my voice tonight is in leadership. It does matter how you're leading your children. Men, it does matter how you're leading your family. And then the people in our church in leadership. We have great responsibility to keep the old ship of Zion a-sailing. To keep the winds up and a-blowing our way to catch our sails. And to be a blessing to people in this day and this hour. Thank God I've been put in leadership. They're teaching, or He's teaching them something about lordship. Can I tell you, He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not Savior today and Lord tomorrow. He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then they got in the ship of membership. You may not belong here tonight, but if God wants you to be, you ought to be. Amen. I'm glad, as they sang already, that my name's written down in the book tonight. And you say, Brother Ken, what are you talking about membership? You better be glad that the Lord compelled you to get in the ship and brought you in membership of the family of God and the people of God. What membership tonight? You got to pay a lot of dues to belong to some places, but not in God's family. I'm glad He compels us to be a member of the greatest family on the face of this earth, and that's God's family. Tonight. Oh my, they got into that of membership. They learned something about partnership. When you're sailing with others, you'll find out you do need partners. I believe that we need each other. As the preacher said this morning, the body has one head. He is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are parts of that body that make up the body, and we need every part in the family of God tonight. Oh, they were put, no doubt, there in partnership. They learned something about seamanship. They learned something about the winds and the waves that night. When He put us in, we found out that we were in relationship. I'm glad I'm His. He's mine. And it's forever settled. I'm glad I'm a born-again child of God. Then they learned something about survivorship. I'm glad we're going to make it one of these days to the other side. They learned something about treasureship. You know, what a great treasure that Jesus put in that ship that day. You're His treasure. I'm His treasure. The Bible said that we were as of a pearl of great price. Jesus paid it all to get us tonight. And so then they learned not only about treasureship, but they learned something about workmanship. Now, God, I don't know about y'all, but He's still working on me. And if you're saved, He's still working on you. Nobody here has arrived tonight. But you remember this first thought of this message. Jesus arranges. Now, number two, you'll see Jesus is a part. For the Bible simply said in verse 23, that when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. Not only do we see Jesus arranges, but we see Jesus was apart. The Bible said He went up. And He went alone. Jesus went into a high place. I'm glad tonight Jesus still sits in a high place. For not only is Jesus high, but He's holy. And so we see Jesus arranges. We see Jesus apart. But look in verse 24. I want to get into where I need to be preaching tonight. You'll see Jesus allows. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Now wait a minute, preacher. Jesus constrained them or compelled them to get in the ship. And now they're in a storm. I hear a lot of people saying, well, if you love Jesus and you serve God, then you'll never have no issues. But they've never read Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. Now, I want to say this tonight, that Jesus does allow things. You'll note in verse 24, there's the distance of the ship. He said they were in the midst. But I come to tell you this evening, you'll find out all through your Bible, Jesus, you can always find Him in the midst. And so here, there's the distance of the ship. Then notice there's the disturbance of the ship. It was tossed. Does your life ever feel tossed? Then you'll notice not only their distance and their disturbance, but look at their danger. The Bible said that the wind was contrary. Can I say something like, we're not responsible for contrary winds? If we're living for God and doing the best that we know how to do and we're obedient unto the Lord, we are not responsible for contrary winds. But Lord, help us if we acting crazy and getting the wind to get up by what we're doing. But tonight, I'm going to tell you, these disciples were compelled to get into the ship. And there, you'll notice, there was disturbance. There was danger. But then, watch this. Not only the distance of this ship in verse 24, and the disturbance of this ship, and the danger of this ship, but look, lastly, about this Jesus allowed. Look at the difficulties of the ship. Now, the Lord gave me this little nugget in my study this evening. Look what it says. He says, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. What's your thought right there? My thought is this. They experienced contrariness, but they were constrained. You see, when you've been constrained, when you've compelled, you can't endure contrariness. The problem with a lot of people, they've never felt that compelling, and then when that contrariness comes, the contrariness outweighs the compelling. But honey, I'm going to tell you, God has dealt with my heart in such a way, the contrary winds leads me to the compelling. I know Jesus told me to get in the ship. I know Jesus is on my side. And this love that He has for me and shows to me, in spite of these contrary winds, there's a compelling that's going on in my heart tonight. We need to realize at church time, in spite of the contrariness, we need to look and realize the compelling. Jesus loves us. You remember the day that Jesus wooed you in the family of God, dealt with you as a sinner, and you came to Christ by faith? Jesus was so loving. The same Bible word here is He constrained them. But now there's a word got up in the Bible, it's contrary. You see, if you'll go back to where Jesus has such a constraining work on you, it will outweigh the contrariness tonight. Help us when contrary winds blow, that we feel that constraining, that Jesus loves us. Jesus is close to us. Now, watch your Bible. Jesus arranges. we see Jesus apart. Verse 24, we see Jesus allows. But in verse 25, you'll notice Jesus appears. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus, one of them, walking on the sea. Now, notice this. Jesus appears. Jesus is watching the fourth watch of the night. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You may not think that Jesus is watching where you are tonight, but Jesus is watching. Jesus knows where every one of us is in our life. Jesus knows where every one of us is in the daytime and the nighttime. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus appears. Why didn't He come the third watch? Why didn't He come the second watch? The first watch started from 6 at night till 9. Then from 9 to 12, then 12 to 3. But now from 3 to 6, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came walking to them. Aren't you glad that they weren't shooting a flare or waving a flag, but Jesus appeared? I'm glad we got a Jesus that's concerned about us tonight. You know when Jesus is going to show up at your house when it gets the darkest. You know when Jesus approves. You ever notice this about having a need in your life? And you know it's a need and you've got a need and you talk to the Lord about it and you seem like you get into some of the most shadowy places and all of a sudden it gets real dark. When it gets real dark, you be watching Jesus fixing to appear. You ever notice when you're walking and you get in a real tight place and He's allowed you to do a lot of things by yourself, but you get down into a narrow place and you realize that you can't do nothing unless He comes and helps you, and all of a sudden there's a Jesus that will appear. You say, how do you know that He got out of the grave? Because Jesus has appeared in the fourth watch of the night in my situation time after time and time again. He's not in a grave. He's watching about His children. Now Jesus appears. You'll find out Jesus is watching. And then in this same verse, you'll notice Jesus is walking. He's walking upon the sea. And you'll notice this. The Bible said when He walked on the sea, the disciples saw Him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying it is a spirit. He was unrecognized. We never know the extent of God's wardrobe. A king never wears the same garment but once. He does this in order to show his riches, splendor, and his magnificence. Can I tell you that many times Jesus appears, but He never appears the same every time. Everybody's wanting to planogram Jesus. Everybody's wanting a formula for God. Let me tell you what God does. God does what He wants to do when He wants to do it. Because He's God and it ain't nobody like our God. Now He came unrecognized. Matter of fact, the trouble you're in tonight, it may be unrecognized, but it may be all about Him. Matter of fact, you that's living for Christ tonight, and it seems like that you're tossed more, the wind's blowing harder at your ship than you've ever been in your life. What you don't realize, you're in the safest place that you could ever be. Because you see, could you imagine what Christ was keeping them from? Even though they were in a storm and the winds were blowing, can I tell you it was taking them exactly where Christ wanted them to be? Can I tell you these hurts and these heartaches have not come in my life
not to misdirect me, but to take me exactly where the Master wants me to be tonight. And I say, glory to your good name. I'm glad that God's over the wind. He's over the ship. And all I've got to do is trust Him as the captain tonight. I visited with a man last night. They go to this church. He said since 2013, he spent 500 nights in a hospital. He told me, he said, Brother Ken, the last 4 years of my life I wouldn't trade for anything, for it has taken this storm in my life to get me to where I am with Christ tonight. You having a hard time? Everybody seems to be having a hard time. But can I tell you, the all-watchful eye of our Master knows exactly what we all need and what we all can take. For in the fourth watch of the night, He came unto them. He's a God you can trust. I want to say something God's proved to me the older I've got. He's a God that is faithful. He's a God who won't leave you hanging. He's faithful. And so I want to say He came to them unrecognized. They were troubled. They didn't know Him. Isn't it amazing that Mary in the garden didn't know Him? Isn't it amazing that Jacob over there, when he laid down, he said, "The Lord, this is the Lord's place," and I knew it not. Many times when trouble comes and storms come, it very well can be the Lord taking us to places that He knows is the best for us. We blame so much stuff on the devil. But let me tell you something. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. God moves to help you and make you be what you need to be. He came unrecognized. Matter of fact, God may be doing something in your life tonight and you don't even recognize it as Him. You may think that somebody else has done this to you, but it may be God allowing this to happen to you to get you right in the ship where you need to be tonight. They were learning things. And so here I want to say that Jesus appears. He came unrecognized. Secondly, He come unrestrained. He could walk on water. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing thing. Our God, that the waves are under His feet tonight. McCamey sang a song about that. And I'm going to tell you, He came unrecognized, but He came unrestrained. And then thirdly, He came unrestricted. God can do it. Church, God's not done with us. You think God's done with Liberty Baptist Church? God can do anything. God knows what He's doing. And we must trust Him and look to Him as Master. And oh, tonight I'm going to tell you that Jesus appears. And then, watch this. Something happens in the story. Not only do we see Jesus appears, Jesus approves. Say, approves. Yeah, look what happened. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea in verse 26, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It's I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come to You on the water." And look what the Lord did. He said, "Come." Not only do we see the Lord appears, but we see that the Lord approves. Let me tell you something. If you want a closer walk with Jesus tonight, you can have it. If you want to get to where He is, you can tonight by faith. And I want to say this, that Jesus approves. You'll notice in verse 29, there was a word assured. Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come to You." You know, as a young preacher,
I messed this up so bad. I was so hard on those that didn't get out of the boat and go toward him. But let me tell you something. He didn't say nothing to them. He said it to Peter. Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." I want to tell you tonight, he had a word that was assuring. You know, it don't matter what anybody's told you about anything. If God will give you a word, it can take you through tonight. It doesn't matter what anybody said. I can tell you time after time after time that God has given me a word about a situation. And people said, "You're crazy." But it worked. Because His word is assuring. Just always remember this. Before you do something big for God, be sure He gives you a word about it. So there, the word was assured. I want to say secondly, now I'm about done preaching, listen to me. His word was assured, but his walk was applauded. Verse 29, look what he said. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Don't throw rocks at him because he began to sink. He done something me and you ain't never done. Could y'all imagine being in the boat and Jesus comes, everybody's tore up. He cries, says, "It's I, be of good cheer." Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the way." He said, "Come." I could just see as he got ready to get out of that little old boat. People's looking, saying, "He's lost it for sure. He's crazy." But you see, he had a word that was assured. Has God give you a word about what you're doing? Can I tell you, if God will give you a word about what you're doing, it'll work when nothing else will ever work. He had a walk that is applauding. I applaud him for his walk. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when Jesus called him, you know what he said? "Oh, thou little faith." But he walked on water. Isn't that amazing what Jesus said, "Oh, thou have little faith"? If little faith would let you walk on water, where would big faith take you tonight? If little faith would let you walk on water, where would big faith take us? I want to talk to him when I get there. When I get to the other side. I'm serious. They some Bible heroes I can barely wait to meet. I want to talk to them. You say, how you know that they'll be there? Because Hebrews 11 said they're there. Now, watch your Bible. Jesus appears. Jesus approves. He had a word that was assuring. He has a walk that is applauding. But he had a watch that was frightening. Soon as he got out, look what he done. When he saw in verse 30 the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. It takes me to this point. Not only does Jesus approve, but Jesus assist. Look what he said. He began to sink. But I'm glad he had enough sense to cry these words. "Lord, save me." A lot of people sinking and don't know it. A lot of people sinking and don't care nothing about it. But aren't you glad tonight we've got a God that assists us? Now, here's my thought. Watch your Bible. His assistance is immediate. The Bible said immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. Brother Jerry, every time I preach this sermon out of this text to the place, I think about you, about His grip don't slip. He caught him. Now, I want to say that His assistance is immediate. Now, with Peter in Christ, he was never so near. He began to sing. Some of you here tonight has never been saved. The gospel says, come. Jesus is knocking and says, come. And what you don't realize, you've never been this near to Christ. You're beginning to sing. You'll see that in this text that Christ, He was never so near, but lastly, Christ, He was never so needed. Lord, save me. Miss Sherry, come tonight. I want her to play softly on this.